Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the secret guide to health when we come back. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business. We use terms like private ownership and private property and private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses, and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? Bonds are the exact opposite to private property, and public business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights. Permits are the exact opposite to private business. And why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, Zoning and Planning, the IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies who are eating out your substance? Well, you know, there's a lot that you can do, and the first step is to inform yourself as to the legal alternatives that you have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about this thing called private business, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first. That's the place to start. And let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about this thing called private business. Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're back, and we're talking about The Secret Guide to Health. It's written by a fellow named Wayne Green. He's 81 years old, lives up in southern New Hampshire. And I thought that the world was devoid of people that could still think, use reason, logic, and common sense. Found one more. Oftentimes I report on such things as burying their mistakes. This is where we left off last time. Little short vignettes, like Reader's Digest. In fact, they're even shorter than Reader's Digest in this book called The Secret Guide to Health. Here's an old guy, he's 81 years old. I don't know if he wears glasses or not or has a hearing aid. I don't know what kind of health he's in. He describes himself as being fair to middle and good health. He pointed out here that 20% of people that reach 80 years old are symptom-free or in good health. I don't know if it's symptom-free, but, you know, in relatively good health. 80% are in bad health. They're either in a walker, they're in a wheelchair, they're in a nursing home, they're stove up with arthritis and they can't walk around. This guy evidently can walk around and he walks. He says he's got a field here, you know, a quarter of a mile long or something like that, and he gets out there and walks every day. Yeah, I do the same thing. I'm not 81. I'm only 70. I'm pushing 70. I'm not quite there yet, but I get out and work every day. I can't work at age 70 like I could have at age 30, but I'm still out here hustling a buck. And I didn't retire, and evidently this guy didn't retire either, and I thought that we were a dying breed. I mean, this guy's out working every day. He says, I have to work every day, keep my body in good condition to accomplish all the things that I want to do over the next 20, 30, 40 years. He has a positive outlook, and he's looking forward to living another 20, 30, or 40 years. Now, when you get to be as old as we are, we could drop dead in the morning. You know, we can go to bed at night and not wake up. And we know that, but we have high hopes. And some of us do, in fact, live to be 100 years old. So I thought years ago, I don't think I want to retire, because if I retire, then I'll just get wither away on the vine here just to die. So I might as well keep working if I want to live, and I want to live. I want to live forever. In fact, I'm not ready to die yet, as old as I am. I have never seen anybody either, and I've been around for a long time now. I haven't seen anybody that said, okay, I'm old enough, now I'm ready to die. And this guy Green, 81, you'd think, hey, listen, I've lived long, I've seen it all, I'm ready to die, and that's the end of it. No, all you young kids out there at age 19, 25, so you've got eternal life now. In your mind, you have eternal life. I'm 19, 25, 35 years old. No, but by the time you get to be 40, you'll wake up to reality. Well, maybe it isn't quite eternal life. Maybe it's something less than that. Then the older you get and the closer you get to 70, then the more you understand about, hey, listen, this life is kind of finite. Now, he's talking about health here, and he said that, did you see the 60-minute segment on how hospitals are covering up their doctor's errors by either not bothering to order a postmortem, or even refusing to order a post-mortem when a patient dies? Now, the Institute of Medicine did a study and found that about 40% of the cause of death on the death certificates of dead hospital patients was flagrantly wrong. They estimated that hospitals have been burying around 100,000 doctor error-caused patients' deaths every year, and that's where we left off yesterday. Now, that's 100,000, I pointed out to you, so that's a very conservative number. It's probably around three times that, and there's three causes of this death. It's drug misdiagnosis, drugs or misdiagnosis, or this thing here of of iatrogenic disease. Iatrogenic means the doctor caused your disease. The hospital, on the other hand, didn't necessarily cause your disease. It just happens you went into an environment where you picked up a staph infection or some other disease and then died from it. You come in, you know, for a tonsil, have your tonsils removed, and you die from a strep infection or something. Well, that kills 300,000 people a year or more that they admit to. It actually is about twice to three times higher than that. Now, between doctors covering up for each other, just as our police do, and hospitals willing to go along to avoid costly lawsuits, getting sick enough to go to a hospital is an act of monumental stupidity. If you allow yourself to get sick enough that you need to go to a hospital, Wayne Green says you suffer from the terminal stupids. Now, when you get sick and go to the hospital, what are your chances of surviving? There are doctor errors, medication errors, and the potential for catching something even more deadly than you went in with from some other sick patient. That doesn't count the food, which is almost guaranteed to keep you sick. And oops, I should have written that when you make yourself sick, not when you get sick. And I've mentioned that a time or two. I've come to the same conclusion that this thing of disease is caused by you. You're the guy that's sticking this into your mouth, you know. And you can only get sick by breaking one of the health laws of the Bible. There are 19 of these health laws, and when you violate one or more of them, you will get sick. So I tell students and others that are interested, you know, if you want to violate these 19 laws, you need health insurance. And evidently, most Americans want to violate those laws because they want health insurance. Well, I mean, normal people. Now, I avoid health insurance like AIDS, herpes, and VD because I don't practice strict liability. Excuse me, I don't practice limited liability. I do practice strict liability, which is the biblical standard. Now, Americans who can afford to, they go out and buy health insurance. About 45 million of us can't afford to buy it. Now, I'm not one of those. If I wanted to buy it, I'd go buy it. I don't want it. And I've been told that I'm stupid more than once. And I don't know where these people who call me stupid get their information. You know, from my point of view, I've looked into this thing pretty seriously. I've read the insurance contracts. I know what they promise, and I've been observing for years, you know, from the legal side, what they pay. And let me tell you that if you get sick and you've got a catastrophic illness, your chances of getting paid are about 9%. You can come down with whatever you want to, and you can have all the insurance and paid all your premiums until hell freezes over. If that bill is $100,000 or more, I'll guarantee you the insurance company will not pay off until you sue and get a court order. So if you think you're just going to walk in there and say, hey, I got $250,000 heart transplant operation over here, write the check, you got your head up the wrong end of your anatomy here, partner. Now, if you think that it's just hurricane protection in the Gulf Coast, or you think it's just automobiles or something like that, no. Insurance companies are profit-making institutions. They're not here because they're benevolent people that just want to help you. Let's wake up and smell the coffee. All right, now with that one out of the way, you know this baby formula. I mentioned this the other day. I said that baby formula lowers your baby's IQ. There's a second thing. Fluoride and children's IQ loss has a connecting link over here. And I thought I was the only guy in the world that was reporting on this, and I've reported on this a time or two myself. And gosh, I open up this book, and he's got a little segment in here. Let me read it to you. Circle off burying their mistakes over here. Let's take a look at baby formulas on page 141, which is one of the neat things about this guy's book. He's not exhaustively trying to expose baby formula, but he starts off over here, and he says, in addition to the many studies showing that babies fed formula instead of being breastfed have lower IQs, it turns out, than the children who also absorb large amounts of manganese from the formula. So what studies show that high manganese levels correlate with tendencies to addiction to alcohol and drugs, learning disabilities, a loss of impulse control, and violence? Hey, roll out the Prozac. Huh? Lower IQs, are we talking a couple of points? A long-term study reported in Lancet showed a 10-point difference between breastfed babies and those on formula. All right, let's pause right here. You want to dumb your kid down? I mean, you don't want a kid that's as smart as you are, maybe even smarter than you are now, do you, mother? Now, here's a solution to your problem. Dry yourself up. You know, when you have a baby, we call this drying up cows. Go ahead and dry yourself up and put this kid on Good Start, Infamil, Similac. And it'll guarantee him he'll have a 10-point lesser IQ when this kid gets into school and so on. That way you can keep up with him and maybe even be smarter than he is. Now, I've never met anybody that consciously said, I want my child to have an IQ 10 points lower than the average. And then some woman's going to say, well, but I have to work. And I just can't breastfeed. Okay. I hear you. You're probably right. You can't. So go ahead and feed your kid formula. That's what everybody else is doing. And your kid won't be any dumber than everybody else's. But every once in a while, you'll run across some woman that breastfed her child, and then that child's not brain dead. You know, it's functioning out here at a higher level than the average kid. And then you can be jealous of him and mean-spirited, and you can say, well, that kid over there, you know. Now, babies are particularly susceptible to toxic metals such as manganese and lead, absorbing up to 50% of the metal that they ingest as compared to 8% for adults. Lead. Well, from aging water systems and from the outgassing of older lead-based paints, lead can cause mental retardation, hyperactivity, and attention deficit disorder. And the amount of lead in a child's body by the age of 7 is predictive of juvenile and adult crime. Chelating children's blood to produce the lead content has been shown to increase their IQs by about 7 points in 2 out of 3 children. All right, let's pause right there. Chelation. Now, if you people can't afford health insurance, you probably can't afford chelation, especially if you go to a doctor. Now, there's other ways to buy this chelation. I think if you went into your local health food store and said, I'd like to buy a chelation formula, an oral chelation formula, I think you can find one. Now, I tried this chelation some years back, the intravenous chelation. I had a clinic up here in Springfield. Cost, at that time, I'm looking at 10 years ago, maybe 15, I don't know. Time flies, you know, when you're getting old and having fun. But if, as I recall, it cost me about $1,000. My wife and I both went through the program over there. And it what it does is it takes these plaques in your arteries and the metals in your body. See, you may be picking up chromium, lead, zinc, iron. I mean, there's all kinds of metals, and you can have them in your body in quantities that aren't good for you. Anyway, this chelation, they stick a needle in your arm like an IV, and you sit there for about an hour. And then there's a bag of goop, and this goop runs down the hose and into your arm. And it's painless, you know, relatively painless. And you do this, well, once a week for probably, I don't know, 3 months. Did I do 12 treatments? Maybe it was 16, I don't remember exactly. But you get through with the program, and it will melt the plaque out of your arteries. In place of bypass surgery, and get this, if you think this is quackery, no, this was invented by the AMA back in 1963. They have buried that chelation program so deep, you probably have a hard time finding a medical doctor that does it. It's generally, you'll find one clinic, for instance, in Springfield, one in Kansas City, and one in St. Louis. I mean, in the state of Missouri, you know, population 5 million, you know, there might be 3 chelation clinics here in the state. In California, you might have 10. New York State, maybe 10, you know, maybe not. I mean, they're not common. Hell, you might have to go to Switzerland to get the chelation treatment, or Mexico. And that's because this bypass surgery is second to cancer. I mean, you know, these boys are making a lot of money off of that, and the last thing they want is a cheap, inexpensive way to melt that plaque out of your arteries. I mean, that's just common sense, which is another thing I like about Green's book. This guy's name is Wayne Green, and the book is called The Secret Guide to Health. You may have to get a copy of the book from Wayne Green. I don't know if there isn't any ISBN number in it, which tells me that he's publishing the book himself, and that happens once in a while. So let me give you his name and number here while I'm thinking about it, if I can find it again. Yeah, here it is, Wayne Green, Box 360, Hancock, New Hampshire, 03449. That's a Box 360, Hancock, Hancock, New Hampshire, 03449. He's also got a phone at 603-588-0107. That's 603-588-0107. I've got a clue as to what the price of the book is. If this book cost you $50, it would be worth double that. I mean, you'd be getting it at half price. That's for the information. You know, you have to go out and do research and find this kind of stuff. And I can appreciate that because, see, I do a lot of research here at the law school. And if you take the number of hours that it takes to research a subject matter, and I don't have to do any research here. He's already done it. And each one of these stories has a book or two, and there's more than 200. He's recommending more than 200 books. I mean, if you were to follow this guy's regimen, you wouldn't have time for Oprah, Judge Judy, or Howard Stern. I mean, it could just knock your television schedule all down. So, you know, for you TV addicts out there, I don't recommend the book because it probably is more than you can handle. But now, if you want to know something about, and I'm talking about the IQ of your baby, I don't think very many Americans are concerned about their baby's IQ. I don't believe it for a minute. I think they should. And this guy Green is on a kick. He's on a campaign. He wants to educate all you dumb mothers out there to the realities of life. He wants to get you off of infant formula and get you back to breastfeeding. I'm not trying to do that. I really don't care whether your kid's smart or dumb, and I don't really care whether you breastfeed or don't. I mean, I've been accused of being callous, you know. I sit here and say, hey, listen, lady, you've got a right to make these choices for yourself. And it's not up to me, you know, to tell you, well, you're dumb, and you shouldn't bottle feed that baby. Now, there's another little side effect here. You know, you buy these baby bottles, and they've got this plastic in here. You've been reading and hearing about this thing. It's been on national television. Now, even Katie Couric reports the baby bottles have this toxic chemical poison in it. And so these mothers, they get real excited, you know, these young, dumb mothers, they get real excited. Oh, I'm going out and buy new baby bottles. Going out and buy new baby bottles. Lady, you're already dumbing your kid down by 10 IQ points by feeding him the Similac that you're putting in the baby bottle. What the hell difference does it make if you give him a little more poison in his baby bottle? What relevance does that have? It ain't going to kill him. It'll just retard his development and maybe do something else physiological to him, but... You know, that's just part and parcel with life, isn't it? But there's more. So what apparent gains in dumbing down a child with formula to make it easier to outsmart is lost in more obstreperous behavior. This guy's been around for 11 years longer than I have. I don't know what the hell that word means, but it's obstreperous. And I got to tell you that this guy, he's pretty down to earth. He doesn't use big words like that. I try to avoid big words like that because more than I can handle, so I figure it's more than most of you listeners out there can handle. Anyway, it's bad behavior is what that obstreperous probably means, behavior. Increasing the amount of fluorides in the kid's water might make them more docile, as it does animals, and it also lowers IQ, so it has a double benefit for busy parents. Now, every time that we mess with Mother Nature, a.k.a. God, we seem to get into trouble, and this time it's baby formula, and of course, our beloved government getting into the act and making things even worse. But let me start at the bottom line so you'll know where I'm heading. A recent series of worldwide studies have shown that babies raised on mother's milk instead of formula have an IQ improvement of 10 points. So, ladies, before you worry about the plastic in your baby's baby bottle, coming right out of the chute, the difference between breastfed and formula-fed is 10 points on your kid's IQ right off the top. How's that for a plan? Scientists are attributing this to the lack of, now this isn't Wayne Green here, this is docosahexaenoic acid, or DHA, in baby formulas. You see, this baby formula has 12 essential elements that your child needs, and they come along and they advertise that. In fact, I've got some out here in one of my containers, and it says, you know, right on the package over there, contains 12 essential nutrients for your child. Okay. Well, mother's breast milk, this is just the stuff that comes out of you naturally, ladies. Okay, get this. You got a pen and paper? Write this down. It's a big number. The stuff that comes out of you naturally has 106 essential nutrient ingredients. Now, remember, there's only 92 essential nutrients that you have to have as an adult. 92. Got that from Joel Wallach, remember? But baby's milk has 106. And get this, there's a bunch more that have not even been labeled or named yet. Now, it was good to see Mr. Green here. He points out Mother Nature, also known as God. See, I'm one of those that's been evangelically challenged. Mr. Green used that term. He said evangelically challenged. That's religious nonsense. I don't think I'm suffering so much from religious nonsense, but I got to point this out. Mr. Green seems to be an evolutionist, or at least a theistic evolutionist, and I don't follow that, but you know, to each his own. But he does point out here that breast milk is better for your child than this formula, because, just to give you an illustration, let's take 106, and let's divide that by 12. And that's 8.83. So your breast milk, ladies, has 9 times more ingredients than does Similac. 9 times more. Now, if in fact you were created by a creator, and if in fact this breast milk was designed by an intelligent creator, you know, an engineer, for the express purpose of nutrition, my common sense says to me that probably that breast milk has more ingredients and your child will come out better than on formula. Now, I'm a cattleman, and so I can tell you from personal experience that when we feed calves, this bottled Purina formula comes in sacks, and we call these bottle calves or bucket calves. They always turn out to be sick, scrawny, and puny. So, you know, if you want a sick, puny, scrawny baby, bucket feed him. Bottle feed him. You can't miss. If you want a healthy, robust child, then breastfeed him. And then, of course, most American mothers do not want healthy, robust babies, as is evidenced by the bottle feeding. I don't know what the statistics are, but I'll bet you that 9 out of 10 of them are bottle or bucket fed here in America. So just take it to heart, you know, wherever you might live. Now, the World Health Organization, this DHA, by the way, is an essential structural component of the brain and the retina, which is found naturally in mother's milk. The World Health Organization, the National Institute of Health and Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, have all endorsed DHA. So why isn't it in baby formula? Well, that's easy enough. The FDA has banned its use. Here in America, the FDA has banned this DHA, which is in normal breast milk, mother's. Now, remember, it takes several $100 million a year in tests before the FDA bureaucracy can be budged, or a cushy job with the pharmaceutical company seeking the okay for the FDA person making the decision. The catch-22 here is that the DHA test can't be done in America since it's outlawed by the FDA. God, ain't that just real special. Now, here's an ingredient that's in natural mother's milk. Your baby needs it for his brain development, and it's outlawed in the United States, and that's why you don't have it in your formula. It's outlawed. Why? I don't know. I'm just a reporter. I don't know what the rational basis is that the FDA came to. You can beat them at their own game, though. I mean, you don't have to dumb your kid down. You could breastfeed them. But if you think you're going to get this DHA here in the United States, no, that's like trying to get cocaine. You probably get it, but you're going to have to buy it from Joe down on the street corner. Now, approximately 60% of the human brain is composed of fatty material, and 25% of that material is DHA. So 25% now of your baby's brain is made out of this substance called DHA, which is in your natural breast milk, which is not in your baby formula, and you can't get it in the United States unless you buy it from Joe down on the street corner. What do you think that's going to do to your kid, lady? I mean, forget about that plastic bottle over there with the chemical in it. Wake up and smell the coffee, lady. Now, since humans can't produce it, they must consume it. And so your baby does not produce it. They have to consume it. Studies show that DHA level of women in America today is comparable to that of women in third world countries. And this is attributed to the trend against eating DHA-rich foods such as fish, liver, and brains. During the last 3 months of pregnancy is when a mother passes almost or along most of the DHA needed by the baby to build its brain and its nervous system. So the DHA content of the mother's diet governs the amount that can be passed along to her baby. Then if the baby is not breastfed, it is deprived of further DHA, thus degrading its mental and visual abilities. The DHA levels of premature babies are particularly low since they miss much of that last 3 months transfer, plus they are usually bottle fed, thereby compounding the problem. Recent studies have also indicated that low levels of DHA contribute to many major physical and psychological disorders such as depression, aggression, Alzheimer's disease, schizophrenia, and multiple sclerosis. It's also resulting in attention deficit disorder and hyperactivity in children. One American baby formula company is making formula which includes DHA, but they're only selling it in other countries. So there's one American company that puts the DHA in the baby formula, but you can't sell that here in the United States, so they have to sell it somewhere else. All right, so now pay attention here, you ladies now in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Europe, and so on. And if you're not going to breastfeed your child, then why don't you look for this one product? It doesn't say here what company, but I'll bet you if you were to call this guy, Wayne Green, and say, what's the brand name on that milk or on that baby formula so I can buy it here in Australia? I mean, you might be able to get it in Australia. You can forget it here in the United States. Now, remember, you're the one who either voted in your senators and congressmen, or worse, you didn't vote. I've got to underline that, didn't vote. I'm one of those, Wayne. I didn't vote. I just didn't want to encourage him. And they're the people who should be protecting you from the FDA monster that spawned, or that they spawned and feed. So when I get the time to put all this baby information together, by the time I add up the 10 IQ points you can give your child through supplying adequate DHA during pregnancy and then breastfeeding after birth, the 12 points you can gain by using baby signs before the child learns to speak, and another 20 points through giving your baby the right stimuli at the right time, as described in How to Raise a Brighter Child, plus another big IQ bonus from using the information in the prenatal classroom, where a child can learn over 100 words and learn to love music before being born. That'll make the difference between raising an average IQ child and a genius. That's your choice. If we can get the word to mothers to be, we can look for the average IQs of children to be around 150. All right, let me pause right there. Did you notice here that this guy Green mentioned several books? Now, for you people watching Oprah, Judge Judy, and Howard Stern, you have a very busy schedule already, and you probably do not have the time to read books like this. I mean, after all, your TV schedule is probably more important than your baby's IQ. But he mentioned three books here, How to Raise a Brighter Child and the Prenatal Classroom, two books. I mentioned two books here, and that's just in this one little vignette over here dealing with baby's IQ. Now, how many geniuses do we have today that you can think of? Any genius writers, composers, artists? You know, think about it for a minute. All right, I'm going to put a check mark here by formula. Let me write that one off. I'll circle it right there. There's that story on the formula. It's a bit more. Did you hear that number? 150. Your child could have an IQ of 150 based upon what you mothers do. The baby doesn't have any input into this process whatsoever. None. Zero. Zilch. But you young mothers out there, can make the difference between having a child with a 100 to 110 IQ, which is about average, and having 150 IQ, and your baby could do it too, and it has to do with the nutrition, the prenatal nutrition. Oh, I got to point out, most of you young mothers are smoking, drinking, and taking drugs. That also is debilitating to your baby's IQ. And that's why I mentioned earlier, I don't think that the average young mother in America really gives a rat's ass about her child's IQ or about the baby she's carrying. I don't believe it for a minute. As evidenced by the Coca-Cola you drink, the cigarettes you smoke, the alcohol you consume, and the baby formula that you give them. I mean, come on, let's wake up and smell the coffee. If you cared, you wouldn't do that. Now, there might be a few mothers out there that, honest to God, just didn't know. So why don't you get, first of all, Wayne Green's book. Start there. And then when you get to the section here on formula, you can read it for yourself, and then you'll be in a position to order those two books, you know, for the five or six of you that really care. All right, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio worldwide. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.com. georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. And the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the law, our website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate and endorse us. You should keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or opinions of the advertisers or the sponsors or management or staff of this radio network or this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, now let's assume your child is already 7, 8, 10 years old, and you know it's too late for the prenatal IQ program. Well, there's another one over here that lowers your child's IQ. It's on page 221. It's called fluoride and chlorine. Fluoride and chlorine. Now, there is something you could do to help your child today. It's on page 221 here. See if I can find page 221. Here's 219, 21. Yeah, here we go. More fluorides, page 221. In a paper sent to me by Roger Masters of Dartmouth College, I found the results of an extensive study of what happens to people who drink water which has been fluoridated. Fluorine, as you probably know, is one of the most active elements known, so it should be no surprise that when it's added to our water supply, that it attacks the pipes and the pipe lead solder joints. And the amount of lead this adds to the water supply is significant enough, so the study showed a children's IQ difference of 5 points between fluoridated water and non-fluoridated. All right. Now, that's 15 points, and it's cumulative. Now, Americans, you know, we're sitting over here kind of dumb, fat, dumb, and blind. We not only are ignorant and don't know this, we don't want to find out. I mean, we're busy, you know, watching TV. We're busy out here on the lake, dinking around, you know, with our motorboats and having a good time. And so we believe pretty much whatever is funneled into our brains in the public education system, which is a debilitating experience to say the least, but I mean, that's just the way that game is played. So I thought I'd share that with you and point out that there's one other guy in the world that shares some of these views with me. And I was, you know, it was refreshing to me to read this book. The thing I liked about it was common sense. He says it's simple, it's obvious, it's just plain common sense. That's kind of what I thought. You know, I mentioned some of these things and I try to point out, hey, wait a minute, you know, yesterday's program, I said the DEA, that's the Drug Enforcement Agency, Congress funds them $19 billion a year to protect you from 6,000 deaths a year caused by illegal drugs, and they don't spend a dime to protect you from 300,000 deaths a year that the medical establishment agrees to, or at least 100,000 that they agree to. And it would seem like to me, if we were concerned about people dying, that if we want to spend $19 billion protecting you from illegal drugs, we ought to spend $114 billion protecting you from legal drugs. And just my common sense tells me that, just doing the arithmetic. Now, I personally do not care about the 6,000 people a year who die from illegal drugs. It's a choice that those people make in life. You know, there was a guy named Belushi, and he was a funny man on Saturday Night Live, and he'd made a couple of movies, and he was a funny guy. Probably he was a real hell of a nice guy. And he wanted to do heroin, and so he was doing heroin, and he overdosed on it and killed himself, you know. And, you know, things happen. Now, I'm not opposed to people killing themselves on heroin. Not at all. I think it's tragic, and I feel bad about it, one thing and another. But hell, you know, John Belushi, that year that he died, was only one of 6,000. There was 130,000 other Americans that died from Zoloft and 55 and Prozac and other drugs, you know, that are legal and sold across the counter, you know, with prescriptions that come from the AMA and the pharmaceutical companies, one thing and another. And it kills, you know, how many more times? Let's see. It's 130 divided by 6. Kills 21 times, nearly 22 times more people with what we call legal drugs. So if you're concerned about the number of people being killed every year by drugs, Why don't you get after the people that are killing 22 times more people? Why don't you get after Pfizer and Merck and jack up your Congress and let's get the show on the road? Now, that's what this guy Green wants to do. So he wants to get a movement going and change all of this. I'm not in favor of changing anything. I'm happy with the status quo. I don't care if you people out there desire to go to your doctor, your hospital, and get drugged up with legal drugs and get killed at the rate of 22 times more than the illegal drug users down on the street. See, from my perspective, drug use is witchcraft. So you people want to practice witchcraft, whether you're getting it, you know, from the free drug program from your government, or you're getting your witchcraft from Halloween, or you're getting it from heroin on the street corner. It's all criminal behavior, violates the law of God. I'm opposed to it, and I don't do it, and I'm not going to practice it, but I wouldn't get in your way and tell you not to. I mean, I wouldn't tell you not to go to Catholic Church. I haven't got any more use for the Catholic Church than I do the Baptist Church, than I do for a drug dealer or for a medical doctor. They're all criminals. And life is made up of choices. Choices. And what many of these people are advocating over here when they go to clean this up and they go to change this, they want to put us all in a straitjacket and take our choices away from us. Now, let's take a look at libertarian philosophy here for a minute. You know, we didn't have drug laws in this country. You know, 1900 didn't have them. 1800, we didn't have. Boys and girls, heroin's been around for thousands of years. You know, those poppies that they're harvesting over in Afghanistan today, that isn't something brand new that just came up in the Clinton administration or the Bush years, you know. That's been around for thousands of years. Looking in the Bible, in Genesis 1, 29 and 30, you find that God, the Creator, I mean, this is the big kahuna. He said that he was going to give us all the green herbs on planet Earth. Last time I looked, those poppies over there were kind of green. I got color TV. I saw some pictures the other day. Poppy fields are all green. He said he's going to give us every green herb. I thought every meant all. I didn't have any problems understanding that at all. So God has given you spinach, broccoli. He's giving you marijuana, cocaine. Are you following this? You know, these are herbs. It's your government in Washington, D.C. or Canberra or Ottawa that told you that you couldn't have, you know, made them illegal. There was a time when they weren't illegal. We didn't have any drug problems. We weren't spending $19 billion a year trying to protect 6,000 people from killing themselves. And I'm all in favor of going back to 1800, 1900, when we didn't have these laws. And if you want to smoke dope, get after it. Go do it. It's bad for you. I think that people should be educated. I honest to God believe that people should be told and warned, and that's why I'm on here. I think that you should have both sides of the coin. I think you should see both sides. And this fella Green now, he's sitting there saying, we need to outlaw this. Wait a minute. We've already tried that. We've already outlawed three of these drugs over here. And I said, well, we need to outlaw some more of them over here. Wait a minute. Boys and girls, it's your government butting into your life over here that's causing you about 90% of your problems. You know, if you just eliminated all this government crap regulating and controlling you, you could get out there and live your life, and in all probability, you know, you'd probably make it all right. Look at me. Here I am, an old man, and there's cocaine out there on the street. So far, I've avoided it for 70 years. Marijuana. I have avoided marijuana for 70 years. And I'm not opposed to green herbs. I'm sure that when God designed cocaine, marijuana, heroin poppies, I think that he had a plan in mind. I think he did a good job. He said when he got through with the creation, it was all good. He thought it was good. Evidently, the politicians in Washington saw his mistake that he made heroin, cocaine, and marijuana and said, oh, my God, we got to fix God's mistake. We got to outlaw this stuff and protect people. No, that stuff isn't outlawed for the purposes of protecting you. It's for the purposes of protecting the drug monopoly. You can buy heroin, cocaine, and marijuana from your local doctor through your local Rexall pharmacist, for crying out loud. They have different names for it. They patent the names, but you can get those same drugs through legitimate sources. It just costs you six times more. That's all. So I just thought I'd point that out to you. Now, when it comes to your child's IQ, which is the subject matter that we're covering over here, you could raise your child's IQ by 5 points by taking them off of chlorine and fluoride. That means that you got to go out and buy. Yeah, you know, most of you people live in the city where you got dirty water. And you're going to have to go out and actually buy water that, and in fact, there's a story here on water. Let me tell you what it is. They went out here and they took a look at a lot of this bottled water. And some guy just opened up the tap and it's got chlorine and fluoride right in the bottled water. You know, it says pure spring water. They're lying to you. So this guy, Green here, he suggests that you buy a water distiller and drink nothing but distilled water. That's his solution to the problem. So, you know, you're living in Austin, Texas, or Baltimore, or New York, or Los Angeles, and you got crappy water, and it's killing you. Well, buy a steam distiller. Now, I don't know what they cost. We got a couple of them here. As I recall, years and years ago, I bought one of those. You know, I was a fanatic, hell, even when I was young. And I bought one of those, and it seems to me that 30 years ago, they were about $300. $300. Just that number pops out. Well, you know, let's suppose they cost $600 today. $600. Would you spend $600 to raise your child's IQ by 5 points? Most of you people would spend $600 on some pile of crap that you buy from Toys R Us for your kid. Instead of going down and blowing $600 on a bunch of crap, why don't you blow the $600 on a water distiller? Don't ask me where to buy one. I haven't got a clue. And if I put my mind to it, I think I could figure it out. But if you call this guy Green, you know, and here, take this number down. Let me give it to you again. Guy's name is Wayne Green. His phone number is 603-588-0107. Can you write that down? 603-588-0107. And just call him up on the phone and say, Mr. Green. And if he doesn't answer, his wife will probably answer. Or maybe his secretary. You know, hey, could you tell me where to buy a water distiller? Where do you get those? And they're not difficult. I mean, just plug it in the wall. They're electric. Plug it in the wall. And hell, if you want to get fancy and all, you can plumb them in. You don't have to. It's got a filler hole in the top. You can just pour the water into the tank on top. And you put a, and you don't need to do anything. You just plug it in. And it'll automatically just distill the water down, and it's got another tank that it holds it in. So it's got these coils that go around in the upper tank. It distills the water, and it goes down into the lower tank. And then when you want water, you just open the faucet, and you pour it into a jug and take it up, put it in the refrigerator, put it on the kitchen counter, and there it is. Folks, this is what we drink here. Now, you got another problem I got to tell you about over here. Most of you people that live in the city bathe in this stuff. Oh, my God. And you know what that does? Now your skin is absorbing it. So you want to stay in the shower just as little as possible. Not like me. I get up in the morning at 5 o'clock, and I'm just dead tired, and I'm sleepy, and I hate getting up in the morning. So I drag myself into the shower, and I spend about 15, 20 minutes in the shower. I got one of these on-demand water heaters, you know, where you can just vegetate in the shower and keep warm. And I do that. Wakes me up, gets me alert, gets me going in the morning. And so, you know, if you do that down in the city, you're poisoning yourself. That's why I always tell my students, get the hell out of the city. Get out on a well somewhere where you've got clean water. Get rid of the chlorine and the fluoride so that you can take a clean shower. I mean, it's a wild new concept, you know, for most people, but think about that. You could improve your child's IQ by 5 points by just getting the kid off of chlorine and fluoride, just the drinking water. And, of course, you cook with it and one thing or another. Now, Mr. Green did not mention this thing of bathing in this chlorine and fluoride, so I thought I'd bring that a step further because I've read a book or two, you know, on the subject myself. And so the solution is you got to put some kind of a filter on your water system. Now, they've got water system filters that will actually take that chlorine and fluoride out of your water. They're a little pricey. It's called something like reverse osmosis or something like that, and they're kind of messy, and you got to change filters in them all the time. One thing, I didn't like that. I said, to hell with this. Let's just move the hell out of Boise, Idaho. I used to live in Boise. Let's just get out of the city. I lived in Alameda, California, and Oakland. You know, when you get out of those places, all of a sudden life turns around for you. So I just thought I'd throw that one out. Hey, listen, we got a couple of more minutes over here. Let me pick up another subject over here, number 25. On page 218, there's this topic over here. It's called aspartame. And God love him, Mr. Green brought up the subject of aspartame over here, trusting the FDA. It's approved by the FDA, so there's no problem here. Here's a government outfit that charges food and drug companies an average of $250 million to okay a product for sale to the public, a charge that we protected users have to pay with a higher product price. So how well protected are we? Well, I've written several times about the dangers of using aspartame, best known by dieters as NutraSweet, the blue stuff. Yes, of course, it's been okayed by the FDA. So how did something that's making so many people sick and causing them to gain weight in the bargain get the FDA stamp of approval? Aspartame was originally accidentally discovered by G.D. Searle's chemist James Shatner in 1965. The company submitted some tests to the FDA which showed the product to be safe, so they okayed it in 1974. A few months later, they withdrew the okay after a consumer interest attorney insisted that outside tests showed aspartame to cause serious brain damage to mice. This cast doubts on the validity of Searle's tests. An FDA team investigated reporting in 1977 that Searle had withheld test information, plus they found many irregularities in Searle's studies. Yes, the FDA had been depending entirely on the honesty of drug manufacturers in granting their okay for the new product. So how dependable are such test reports? Well, a recent survey of 166 aspartame studies gives us a hint. Of the 74 studies paid for by the drug companies, 74 out of 74 found aspartame to be safe. Of the 92 independent studies, 92% found adverse reactions. In January of 1977, Richard Merrill, the FDA's chief counsel, asked Samuel Skinner, the U.S. federal attorney, to convene a grand jury investigation of Searle for concealing material facts and making false statements about aspartame. With the U.S. statute of limitations about to run out, Merrill pushed Skinner to move quickly, which he did. Skinner quickly joined Searle's legal firm, delaying the grand jury investigation until his successor could be appointed, by which time the statute of limitations had expired. So, what problems were the independent animal study showing with aspartame? Well, mainly brain tumors. In 1981, FDA Commissioner Arthur Hayes, I'm going to pause right there. You know, Ted Kennedy's got a brain tumor. Ted Kennedy is overweight. He's probably drinking a NutraSweet to cut down on his calories. Gave him brain tumors. Okay. In 1981, FDA Commissioner Arthur Hayes, ignoring the reports of brain tumors from the FDA's Public Board of Inquiry, approved of aspartame's use by the public. He soon after left the FDA to become a paid consultant to Searle's public relations firm, Burston Marsteller. Talk about conflict of interest. In 1985, Searle was acquired by Monsanto, and despite thousands of complaints of seizures, headaches, and mood alterations, both Monsanto and the FDA have continued to defend aspartame, which is a major moneymaker used in thousands of products, notably in diet drinks. I have a small $2 for $1 booklet available that you can give to anyone you know who is using NutraSweet products to alert them. All right, now I have alerted you, and this fella Green, remember this is Wayne Green, now he has a little booklet. If you'll give him a call, I'll give you his number here. And send him a couple of bucks. I'll probably send you the little booklet. Now, I've reported on this. There's plenty of material out there. You can do a Google search on aspartame or on NutraSweet. And I think you'll come to the same conclusion. Now, people that are busy watching TV, you know, busy watching Oprah, people whose schedule is so busy they don't have time to read, you know. Well, look, boys and girls, you've got the same 24 hours in a day that I do. And if I can take the time to learn this because it's important to my health, safety, and welfare, then so can you. And if you choose not to do that, that's your choice in life. I can live with that. I don't care if you get aspartame poisoning. I don't care if you get blinding headaches and you're suffering from pain and anguish. You brought it on yourself. And you can eliminate it all by yourself. This guy's name is Wayne Green, Box 360, Hancock, New Hampshire, 03449. His phone number is 603-588-0107. I'm about out of time here, kids. I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in 112 countries or more, daily over Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing. Of course, until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.